This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And welcome back, Jay Binkley, Rob Brennan. Carrington back tomorrow. By the way, Rob, are you doing Vern's show tonight? Are you on there for your bet? What night do you do that? Because I know that you're probably in the lead like you have been the last 2 years.
It's just a matter of what fits Vern's schedule. That's kind of how I fit in.
I'm always Sunday, and I have not been good this year. But the guys are always good the next day. But I go for different things, like Sal Perez and RBI. He had more against the Orioles, any other team besides teams in the division. Thought it was a safe play. He had two hits, but didn't have an RBI. So I miss a few of them here. Text line thinks that Kyle Isbell is the toughest Royal for sure. He'd be tough. Don't get me wrong, but you see those pipes on Lorenzen, man? I'm telling you, man. That dude's yoked, man. He is. And don't sleep on Perez, because the last guy we thought was a real super nice guy with the Royals had the best fight I've ever seen in Major League Baseball when Sweeney took down Weaver. That was the best charge I've seen, mound charge. Most unassuming guy, so don't sleep on a guy like Perez. Because I saw him get mad at Tim Anderson one time. So don't sleep on one Salvador Perez. But for now, we play the hits.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Think as always, hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well,
who's their most famous alumni?
Mike McCarthy.
Thank you.
He's not coaching right now, is he? He interviewed a bunch of places. That's right.
And he'll get a job.
Anywho, like I said, the top story of the day in Kansas City is the Kansas City Royals, who last night beat the Minnesota Twins to get back to 500. But after just three games against the Guardians and now one game against the Minnesota Twins, Bink, you are ready to call it. You think the AL Central, a battle to the finish, is just in fact a two-horse race, and we start discounting Twins, Guardians, and White Sox.
That's right. I know that the Guardians beat the Royals two out of three times, but have just won one game since then. A grand total of three wins. Yes, Stephen Kwan's good. 26 career home runs. He has the three gold gloves. That's fine. And then Ramirez is pitch around him. And the pitching staff, as much as we think it's the best, it's not in the American League. It's one of the worst, to be honest with you. I think it's a two-horse race. I think it's the Tigers, and I think it's the Royals. The Twins team, this is a chance to make up games. You got to find some team to bully around. Last year's the White Sox. That was America's booty call, and they took care of business. 12 wins against the White Sox. They got to do it this year against the Twins. Not impressed by that team, and I know that Cleveland beat the Royals 2 out of 3. I don't think that's the end game for the Royals versus Cleveland. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think the Royals are a better team, and I think the Royals and Tigers are the two best teams in the division.
Number two.
Well, think last night of the Kansas City Royals, what we saw on television was the Final Four finale. We got the national title game between the Houston Cougars and the Florida Gators. The Gators won with a last-second defensive stop to the Houston Cougars, but friend of the show and former friend of the station, Danny Parkins, was on his TV show on Fox Sports 1, Breakfast Ball, and he says that game left a lot to be desired.
I hate being that guy. Like, I like celebrating the winner, not just talking about the team that loses. I appreciate sports. I know this is college sports, not professional. Yeah. You guys know we did a whole NFL season together. I loathe refereeing talk. I want to talk about the games decided on the field, or the court in this case. But I really don't think that a two-point game to decide a national championship could have been a worse viewing experience than last night. I thought that was a terrible game, and I thought it was a terrible watch, and I kind of resented that I stayed up for the entire – seriously, like, the first half of the game, and especially the very beginning, it felt like we might have been in for a classic. Like, the refs had swallowed the whistle.
Yep.
Houston, one of the best offense, or excuse me, Houston, the best defense. Florida, one of the best offenses. Contrasting styles, a couple of one seeds. Let's, like, settle it on the court. And the game started out awesome. There were four fouls.
Total.
In the first half.
Yes.
They were playing basketball. And it's college basketball. They were missing shots. It wasn't the highest level, but that was a basketball game. Look at how this game ended. Like, by the time this game was done, we had had two teams that couldn't crack 40% from the floor, combined to shoot 37%, making less than one out of four threes, 22 turnovers.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
26 second half fouls.
Yeah.
So there was no flow to the game. Houston's guys were in foul trouble. Houston had more fouls called on them, but Florida had a technical called on their bench for complaining about it. Like, I didn't tune into a national championship game to watch a ref show.
Bink, do you agree with the ever-cynic Danny Parkins? Last night's game was a snooze fest, and despite four number one seeds in the Final Four, you think ho-hum, you found other things to watch on television.
Yeah, despite the fact that there's a little bit of drama at the end. The fact that the 12-point lead was blown by Houston. So they did have the intrigue, but I'm with Park. I think it was a ref show. I think there was no flow in the second half. And quite honestly, I like watching the Royals beat the Twins better. I found that to be more entertaining. We can kind of put college basketball to bed. We can start talking about spring football. We can talk about the NFL draft, which we only should be doing. And hell, OTAs are better than college basketball. It's great that four one seeds were in there, but that sport has completely changed now that name, image, and likeness has changed it.
Saying OTAs is more interesting than college basketball is a wild statement.
Well, to some people it is, Rob.
Guys in shorts and a t-shirt playing fake football, just...
Well, we like when guys are in shorts run 40s.
We is also relative there as well.
Yes, but when I speak of we, I mean many.
Number three.
Well, Bink, we're about 15 minutes away from Josh Vernier taking the air to get you ready for game two.
Oh, hell yes. Give me some burn.
Twins and Royals. Big pitching match tonight between Lopez and Reagans with the Twins in town. J.J. Piccolo, the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, he was on earlier today with Cody and Gold, and he says, despite being a lightning rod for fans, he thinks it's possible MJ Melendez could be turning a corner offensively.
Yeah, regardless of what the batting average is, I think over the last four games, he's got on base six, seven times in that area. But I think he's made a little bit of a change. I can't really say I'm 100% sure, but it looks like his bat angle is a little bit different where he's starting. And he's on time a little bit more. The ball he hit last night was as good of a swing as anyone can take. I mean, a little more elevation, that ball's out. So that was a good at bat. The walk was a good at bat.
Bink, I know how you hate talking about almost and coulda, woulda, shoulda.
Yeah, coulda, woulda, shoulda.
MJ Melendez is showing incremental improvement at the plate. Fans have been wanting to quit on him for a while. Are you willing to be patient with one of the Royals' former prospects, or are you saying head down to AAA, young man, because an almost home run is, in fact, not a real home run?
Yeah, almost is almost. I mean, it's great. Yeah, if he gets underneath the baseball and has more velocity and gets out of the park, that's fine. Give me the actual hits. I will say this, though. I do like the change in bat swing. Like, that was something that was a necessity. I don't care how it feels. I don't care. You know, hell, I'd like to see him use the torpedo bats, which our guy Kramer's going to use this Friday for his wooden bat old man league, which I guess he's in at this point. But, hey, MJ should have the torpedo bat. Why the hell not? But, no, I have some patience. This team is too loaded in other parts. It's a good team. It's the best team in the division, in my opinion. It's fun to watch. But that MJ Melendez swing was driving me nuts last year. Because it was like starting behind the eight ball. Like, you're starting behind these electric pitchers, and you have to bring it back. So if you're not listening to all the coaching, which you should, you need to or not play. But, yes, I want to see success. But the woulda, coulda, shoulda game, hey, this is not training wheels anymore. This is professional baseball right now. And we had this before. 2000, well, a lot of the 2000s were training wheels with the Royals, but 11 was, 12 was. Bring the guys up. Let them get their training wheels on. 13 things started to be different. They actually went to the final weekend before being officially eliminated against the White Sox. 14-15, they punched their ticket in the postseason, and we know what happened there. But the training wheels were on. So the training wheels aren't on anymore for MJ. This is a professional team. It's time to, you know, stop having the woulda, coulda, shouldas and actually make contact and get on base. But willing to have patience with MJ. Want to see the dude succeed. More than anything, no question about it. I want to see him succeed. And as far as toughest Royals, I know that people like talking about this. They do. They love the fight. I love a good fight, too. I think it's much better than that fake thing Baldelli had yesterday getting thrown out of the game. I like the real stuff. But, yeah, you know, here's the thing, Rob, and I don't know why. I think Jonathan India is one of my favorite Royals to watch. I mean, outside of Bobby Witt, everybody likes watching Bobby. Of course I do. Bobby's awesome to watch. But Jonathan India, man. Like, I take a full team of those dudes, man. You get plunked in the head by Emmanuel Clase, and you're playing the next day. That dude's tough, man. And we talk about who's the scrappiest who'd win in fights. I don't know. India might, man. That dude's tough, man. It would be tough to knock out. Clase tried. He didn't knock him out. He kept on ticking. Dude's like a Timex. But that dude's a scrapper, and I like him a ton. Of course, on the football end, Luther Burden. We picked him in our latest mock draft because he happened to be there, and it looks like he could be there. The great Mel Kiper had him going in the second round, and unfortunately took Josh Simmons, the tackle from Ohio State, which is not going to happen for the Chiefs at 31. But Luther Burden is a hot topic. People talking about him. He just didn't forget how to play football this year. He had a great combine, by the way. Best slot receiver in this year's draft. I'd give Patrick Mahomes all the weapons you can. 100%, you're not going to have a quarterback like that. I mean, let's face it, you're not going to have a quarterback to go to the AFC title game every single year and win three rings. It's just not going to happen. If it does happen, great. I don't think I'll see it in this lifetime because I've only seen it once in this lifetime, and it's been Mahomes, and I've been around this lifetime for quite a while, but you're not going to see it like Mahomes. But Luther Burden is 100% where I'd go, and the fact that he could still be there and really give the Chiefs a decision. Do you go defensive tackle because they really need that? Or edge rusher. Can't have enough good edge rushers, as Andy Reid always says. But the Luther Burden argument to me is interesting. Because he's there, he's tough to pass. And I know that happened with Chris and I. You're doing the mock, and all of a sudden, you know, Derek Harmon's there. I really like Harmon. I don't think he's going to be there. I don't think the choice will be that clear. But if Luther Burden is sitting there, and don't forget, the Bills pick right before the Chiefs. And could I see the Bills doing a Burden? Yeah, because for some reason, the Bills always need what Kansas City needs. And then he did bring in Bosa in the offseason, you know, instead of Von Miller to be that edge rusher, if he can stay healthy. But is Burden off the table if he's still sitting there? Could the Bills do that? Would the Chiefs need to jump ahead of the Bills? Or would Buffalo trade again with the Chiefs? Don't see it happen. I didn't see it happen last year, but those dumbasses did it. And as long as Buffalo can be dumb, I'm 100% for it. Because their stupidity led to this town's greatness. Wouldn't have Mahomes if it wasn't for the Bills. Wouldn't have McDuffie if it wasn't for Veach hop-skipping right over the Buffalo Bills. picking him when they were stuck with Kyrie Elam that sucked, that they drafted, who's not even on the team anymore. Yeah, that same Buffalo that traded the Chiefs to get Xavier Worthy last year, eh, can't see it happen again. But Luther Burden is interesting. And Steve Smith, I think, does the best breakdowns of wide receivers ever. He goes all the pro days. The guy is like a savant when it comes to the receiver position. And I love what he says. He was brutally honest when it came to Teteroa McMillan, which, by the way, I know you like. Rhett Lewis from NFL.com mocked him actually to the Chiefs. This was a guy that thought was surefire top 15 pick before the process started. And I hate when people go off him and then move him down and they slide out of the first round or whatever. If you like the guy a ton in the beginning, why do you not like him now? They haven't played football since, so why do you not like him now? So I don't like a lot of the wishy-washy that people are with. But going into the season, to the mock season, I always thought Luther Burden was the best. I know he's the slot, and Teteroa plays on that boundary, but it's different. Here's Steve Smith and his thoughts from his podcast with James Palmer, formerly of NFL Network, about one Luther Burden.
All right, so then the fourth guy on your list is Luther Burden out of Missouri. I've talked to people, Steve, this could be a second-round pick. Am I accurate on that? That has been...
With Burton?
Yeah.
Nah, I think because he's a slot, because he's fast, we turn him on the field. They did a great job of forcing the football to him. And I say force because I believe that Theo was kind of alienated out of the offense at times. He was not given the same equal opportunities of the routes. Mm-hmm. Right? In an offense, a slot receiver and an outside receiver generally run different types of routes.
Yep.
But then you also see a guy that may be on the outside that gets an opportunity. He never got really an opportunity to run in the inside as much because Luther was just such a dynamic player and he was really good. He can get out. He can run. He was more of screens, intermediate. Up the middle of the field, mismatch, outrun the linebackers. Dio was really a crosser, deep threat, not really given the same equal opportunity as Luther. So that's where I think some teams who are looking for a slot, but also looking for a contributor early, will use him in the first round because if you wait till the second round, that's the type of thing where some teams will start talking to other teams soon as the first round over, and when the second round starts the next day, they're gonna be moving up to get a kid like that. So I would imagine he's probably gonna go where someone's gonna move up and get rid of their second to move up in the first to solidify getting their guy that they want.
Okay, I like that because I think we're getting into this group, and I can't wait to say this sentence that was given to me by a national scout. There's a couple of guys I like at the top, and then we have a quote chunky middle. Whatever that means, Steve, right? I was like, I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
That's a bad body, right? Is that a dad bod?
I don't think he's talking about the physical build of these guys and they're like Chunk from Goonies. He's talking about there's a bulk of receivers that are kind of in this group, like you said, where I think you mentioned after Luther Burden, there could be a variety of guys going off the board. Like there's this heavy group after those top four that could be,
And I'm with him on that. The chunky middle part, there is an abyss between the best. When you're talking about Teteroa McMillan or Matthew Golden, Luther Burden, Emeka Buka, as far as the next wave, like the Trey Harris's of the world. And by the way, Theo Weiss, that Steve Smith's very high on, he'll be, you know, later on as far as what the draft is concerned. But I'm for Burden. I want to bolster up these wide receivers. Remember, you went without the season, basically not having Brown or Rice. I know Rice played at the beginning of the year, but, you know, Hollywood Brown was hurt the first preseason game, but I'm all for bolstering the wide receivers. You're not going to have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, so I say do it. Rob Brinton, thanks a lot. I know you're headed to the K tonight to watch some Cole Reagans.
Hope to see a good one. Hope to see the Royals win. That's what I really want.
Who hits a home run tonight? I know you're not on Vern.
Pasquantino.
There you go. Vinny, home run. Rob says it. Keep in mind, Rob's always been right. Take care, guys. Enjoy it. Vern. Next. Thanks, Rob.